Louisiana, notes Burnage, who says that DeGene helped cultivate his interest in Auburn. They called him the Hook, Burnage says. I had a friendship with him, and he was very, very influential in my decision. Paul Nix made initial contact with me from Auburn, and he was the baseball coach. Once they found out that I was really interested, offensive coordinator Gene Laurendo and defensive coordinator Paul Davis started recruiting me. When they came down to sign me, Coach Jordan was there. However, before Burnage signed, LSU tried to use its home field advantage. There was definitely pressure to play for LSU, Burnage remembers. Charlie Mack was a prince of a fellow, and I really felt bad about it. But my visits to Baton Rouge were subpar. They knew I had visits to other SEC schools, and they couldn't understand why any other school was in the picture. We had a couple of incidents when we had gone up to Baton Rouge in a group from New Orleans, Burnage says. It was kind of a sectional thing. The New Orleans guys were not well liked by guys from other areas, especially Baton Rouge, because New Orleans was a bigger area with more population and we had more press. I remember we got into a couple of fights. On Sunday morning on my recruiting visit there, when they gave us the big push to commit to LSU, I was sitting with a couple of prospects from metropolitan New Orleans and still getting over what happened the night before. It wasn't bad, but there was a lot of hell-raising going on. I got a slap on my back, and I turned around, and it was Governor Big John McKeithen. He goes, "You are going to be a tiger, and not an orange and blue one, but a purple and gold one." You talk about a salesman. I was ready to sign there. But that was an example of the kind of pressure that was put on you. When Burnage signed in December, it was a regional letter of intent honored by SEC, ACC, and some others. But that didn't stop teams in other parts of the country from recruiting him prior to the national signing day in February. Burnage says he didn't have any intention to back out on his pledge to Auburn, but decided this recruiting business was too much fun to bypass free trips to see campuses. He visited several Big 8 and Big 10 schools before he realized he was getting behind academically. So he backed off, concentrated on school, and prepared to make his mark on SEC football. Learning to play with the big boys. In the fall of 1971, freshmen were not allowed to play on the varsity. Prior to 1972, they had their own separate team that played a few games against other freshman teams, but most of the action took place on the practice field when the rookies served as scrimmage opposition for the varsity. Burnage was a big linebacker at Archbishop Shaw. The SEC has always emphasized speed, so Auburn's coaches wanted him leaner and quicker when he reported. However, just the opposite happened. When I got to campus, I was 261 pounds, so the coaches were mad at me right away, he notes. The adjustment to college football was tough, Burnage admits. My biggest problem coming into Auburn was that I was overweight. I had worked for Coca-Cola over the summer, and I dropped a case on my foot. I had a broken big toe and had an ingrown toenail, which is not a good thing to happen in any sport. With Hub Waldrop and Kenny Howard as trainers, I will never forget I had to run a mile, and I was in bad shape. They were all over me. I was homesick, and it was not a good experience. It was tough. However, away from football, the adjustment was much smoother. Coming out of the city, Auburn was a really good place for me, Burnage says. I made a lot of friendships quickly and met a lot of good people who took me under their wings. Burnage's talent soon became obvious to the coaches, who had big plans for his sophomore season, which would turn out to be a memorable year. The Tigers lost just one game despite the prediction they would be in major rebuilding mode after losing most of their stars from a team that was ranked fifth nationally. Few expected the Tigers to match the 9-win season led by Heisman Trophy recipient Pat Sullivan and his star receiver Terry Beasley. As part of paying our dues, we were cannon fodder for the varsity, Burnage remembers. When the freshman team finished, usually in October, they would bring up some of the freshmen to the varsity. I think they brought me up because of my size. This was 1971, which was Pat Sullivan's senior year. They immediately put my hand on the ground and made me rush the passer. That was a good team with great players. They just worked us over, so we really paid our dues. It was tough. In the spring of 1972, Burnage was back at linebacker, where he would develop into a key player on one of the most physical and effective units in Auburn history. I remember going 128 snaps in one particular scrimmage that spring, he says. I started the scrimmage second team, but one of the inside backers got hurt, so I had to play the rest of the scrimmage with the number ones and number twos. It was really a transition year for us. A lot of the big-time players were gone, and there was a lot going on with us on both sides of the ball in terms of finding some guys who could play and play quickly. That was an education